One of the greatest truths in all the world, God desires to have a relationship with you. God desires to be close to you. What this verse teaches is that the ball is in your court. If you will take a step toward God, then God very literally will take a step towards you. So you are as close to God as you want to be. You say, well, I'm a long ways from God. It's your fault. Because this verse today teaches God longs to have a relationship with you. You're in James 4, verse 8. Look up at verse 5. Do you think that the scripture says in vain or uselessly, the Spirit that dwelleth in us, the Holy Spirit that lives in us, lusteth to envy? The Spirit of God who lives inside of us longs to fellowship with you. Very literally, it lusteth to envy. What that means is the Holy Spirit is jealous over you. When you are spending time doing all of your other things, the Holy Spirit is jealous. This week, I don't know, it was Tuesday or Wednesday, I went into a store and old guy, 70, he might have been older than 70, might have been 80. He said, I saw y'all staff went out to eat. I said, where'd you see that? Facebook. I said, you're on Facebook? Oh yeah. Now I had just, me personally, I'm not on there a lot. I just had posted something on there like 5 minutes earlier. This guy's 70s. He said, yeah, I just saw what you just posted. I said, are you a Facebook junkie? He said, what's a junkie? I said, are you on Facebook all the time? He said, I'm on there a little bit. And I'm like, you know everything that's going on, so don't tell me that you old folk aren't on social media, because you is. This verse says, God is jealous over you spending so much time on social media and not spending time with Him. You get what I'm saying? Psalm 139, verse 17. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of Him. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. So God's thoughts are toward you. God has all of these wonderful, good thoughts aimed at you. Now look at what He says. They are more in number than the sand. Now think about all of the sand particles on all the beaches of the world. And God has more thoughts about you, not about us, about you, than the sand on the seashore. Now, I did a little bit of digging. If you, for you builders, you construction guys, if you were to take one square cubit foot there, and I think this is a big difference, but there are 500,000 to 1 million grains of sand in one square cubic foot. So, my wonderful wife, who I've been married to for 30 years as of 2 weeks ago, if I were to think good thoughts toward her every 10 seconds for 30 years, not taking a nap, not going to bed at night, and not eating, and I like to eat, every 10 seconds for 30 years, it'd be 94 million thoughts. Or 94 cubic feet of sand. And that's, now listen, God says, of all of the sand on all of the shores, that's how many good thoughts I have toward you. And when you say, I'd rather play ball than read my Bible. I'd rather watch this TV show or that show. He lusts to envy. God is jealous over you. You say, well, if God wants to be close to us, why aren't we close to Him? James says the ball's in your court. Well, why aren't we close to Him? Because we don't have, I believe, one of the greatest reasons, we don't have reverence and fear toward Him. Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, God says, or Jesus said to His disciples, when you pray, this is how you are to pray. When you enter into communication with God, you are to pray like this. Our Father, which art in heaven, the next phrase, hallowed be your name. You are to come with reverence, with respect, with adoration. Why do we not have a closer relationship with God than most of us do? We don't reverence God like we ought to. So today, three wonderful truths about the fear of the Lord. Sermon I'm entitling, Connecting with God. And today, instead of just going through one passage, I want to go through 239 passages. But we'll get out of here before 4 or 5 o'clock, so don't worry about it. Number one, I just want to talk to you about the fear of the Lord and just explain it to you in an overview way. Number one, the fear of the Lord defined. What is the fear of the Lord? The fear of the Lord is this. It's an awe and a respect for God's holiness, which leads to submission to His authority and obedience to His commands. What is the fear of the Lord? It's reverence for God. What is the fear of the Lord? It's you respecting God in every situation, in everything. It's you saying, God, you're number one. And what you say is the final say. Psalm 33, verse 8. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all of the inhabitants stand in awe of Him. When that happens, that's when we get a utopia. It's not, well, when we put this person in the White House, then it'll be there. No. When all the earth fears the Lord, when all of the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him, that's when there'll be peace on earth. When we have respect, when we have honor, when we have reverence, when we say, your way is the right way, and we are submitting to you. The fear of the Lord is taking God seriously. It's Him putting, it's us putting Him first in our lives. It's saying, whatever God says, I'm going to do. And whatever God tells me not to do, I'm not going to do. The world condones wickedness. And the reason they do, they don't have any respect for God and His ways. Where there is reverence for God, there will be little sin. And where there is no reverence for God, there will be great sin. In the Bible, there are two types of fear in Scripture. Hebrews chapter 31 describes utter terror. Hebrews 10:31 says this. It's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of a living God. And there is that side of God, the side that a lot of times is not politically correct to talk about, but there is a judging side of God where you do what's wrong and He will judge you for your actions. But there is a tender side of God, a loving side of God, a merciful side of God, where we just show Him awe and respect, and we stand in reverence of our loving Heavenly Father. Psalm 36, verse 1. Transgression of the wicked saith within my heart, there is no fear of God before His ways. If you look right here, there's this wonderful thing called an electrical outlet. It's wonderful. Those things, if you plug it into them, they could make hot chocolate. For some of you people that like coffee, they could make coffee. They could make waffles. Those things, they're wonderful. They could make a lot of wonderful things. I'm 52 years old. I still remember it. We were living on Canberra Drive in Stone Mountain, Georgia. I was sitting outside of my mom and dad's bedroom, and I got this bright idea. It wasn't very long, about that long, little screwdriver, and I'm like, this wonderful little thing. I wonder what this little screwdriver, what would happen if I stuck this screwdriver in this wonderful little outlet. And I did, and I got electrocuted that day. It fried me. I still remember it, and that was a lot of years ago. And so it is with God. You will never know blessing, and I'll show it to you in a few minutes. You will never know success. You will never know fulfillment than when you live in reverence and respect of God. And you will never know hard times and difficulty and frustration when you say, I'm my own God. I'm going to do it my way, and I don't care what God says. Because He lays out how life is to be lived. What is the fear of the Lord? Fear of the Lord is wholehearted obedience to God. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12. It is to walk in His ways. It's to love Him. It's to serve Him. What is the fear of the Lord? It is to hate evil. Proverbs 8:13. Arrogancy and the evil way. When I say the fear of the Lord, I'm not talking about the way you feel toward a bully. I'm talking about respect. If you were to bring in the president of the United States, whoever it is, the current president, the next president, or some preceding president, you are going to have respect for them for the position that they hold. Forget the president. This is God. Fear of God is having respect and honor for them. Let me show you this verse. Isaiah 33, verse 6 says this. The wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy times and strength of thy salvation. Fear the Lord. It's gonna give you some stability, something that you can rest on and you can lean on in difficult times. Oh, this last thing. The fear of the Lord is His treasure. What do you do with treasure? You protect it. You cherish it. You put alarms around it. You put it in safe. The fear of the Lord is something that we celebrate. It's something that we say, hey, look at what I have. You ask me, Neil Jackson, what's the greatest problem in our world? In our country, what's the greatest problem in America? What's the greatest problem in the church? I'm going to say we've lost the fear of the Lord. We don't cherish, we don't treasure the fear of the Lord. We've forsaken it. Number one, the fear of the Lord defined. Number two, let me just go and give you some examples throughout Scripture and describe the fear of the Lord. So the fear of the Lord described. Fear of the Lord recognizes God as the ultimate authority. Psalm 89 verse 7. God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints. He is to be had in reverence of them that are about Him. When John saw Jesus on the Isle of Patmos, it says He was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. He didn't run up and high-five Him. Didn't run up and give Him a big hug. No. There was awe. There was reverence. He fell down on his face. As a dead man, Scripture says, Revelation says. That is the fear of the Lord. You go to Isaiah chapter 5. Isaiah is a preacher of righteousness. He's saying, woe, woe, woe. Woe to those who call good evil and evil good. Woe to the proud. Woe to the sinners. Woe to those who tarry too long drinking alcohol. He's condemning it as he should. But then you come to Isaiah chapter 6. And he sees the Lord in the temple. And you know what he says? Woe is me. For I am undone, for I am a man of unclean lips. See, we are good at pointing out everybody else's faults because we're comparing ourselves with everybody else. But when we have reverence for God and respect for God and the fear of God, then we start cleaning up our own messes. Fear of the Lord is absolute obedience to God. To what he says, Deuteronomy chapter 10, look at verse 12. It is to walk in his ways. It is to serve the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command thee this day for your good. Anytime you find the fear of the Lord, it's always tied to obedience. The fear of the Lord. Here's what it does. It rejects evil. And it rejects wickedness. Well, it's not that bad. No, not if you're going to fear the Lord. Well, everybody's doing it. Not if you're going to fear the Lord. Proverbs 8 verse 13. Fear the Lord is to hate evil. Not the sinner, but it hates the sin. Fear the Lord is not just something you learn. It's something you definitely choose. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 29. They hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. So if you are not close to God, the reason is you have not chosen His way to reverence, to respect, and to honor Him. You cannot have a relationship with God unless you know Him. And you cannot know Him without fearing Him. Now listen to this statement by A.W. Tozier. No one can know the grace of God who has not known the fear of God. What he's saying? You cannot be truly saved until you know and understand the fear and reverence of God. You say, do you have a Bible verse for that? Actually, I do. Psalm 85, verse 9. Surely, His salvation is nigh unto them that fear Him, that glory may dwell in the land. So glory in the land will come in. Hey, salvation will come to those who have respect for Him. You say, all right, preacher, what's the problem? Why do we in the world, we in America, we in the church, why don't we fear the Lord? You ready? Because you love you more than you love God. I love my way and I want my way more than I want to do God's way. Very simply, that's what Scripture says. Proverbs 3 verse 7. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Depart from evil. I want to do what I want to do. I don't want to do what God wants to do. Here's what happens. Psalm 25, verse 14. Put that on the screen, guys. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear Him. When you fear God, you hear from God. When you hear from God, you respect and you fear Him more. When you respect and fear Him more, you hear Him more. When you hear more, He's speaking to you, then you have more reverence. When you have more reverence, then you're hearing Him more. It's a pendulum that swings back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. The closer you get to God, the more you will hear Him and the more you'll have reverence. But you're as close to God as you want to be. You got to take a step toward Him, and He will take a step towards you. Acts chapter 10. There's a guy by the name of Cornelius. He's a Roman centurion. So he's a Roman officer. All of those who knew Cornelius, they testified. Acts chapter 10, verse 22. Cornelius, the centurion, he's a just man. And he fears the Lord. Wait a minute. Pagan society. Wait a minute. Anti-God society. Not, he didn't live in a monastery. He's in the Roman society. And everybody he worked with, everybody he lived around, everybody he worked with said, that Cornelius, he's a real deal. He's honest. He's a man of integrity. He fears God. If we were to go talk to your neighbors, co-workers, family members, would they testify that the way you live, the way you treat everybody, that you're just, you're honest, you're a man of integrity or a woman of integrity, and you fear the Lord? Number two, the fear of God described. Let me just give you one more. The fear of the Lord defended. Let me just give you some examples of the fear of the Lord. So you say, Pastor, if the greatest thing that we could do to turn our world around, turn America around, turn the church around, is to restore the fear of the Lord, how do we do it? Let me answer that. It is a tough task. How do we get people to forsake their sinful ways and turn to the Lord? Romans chapter 3, verse 10 says this. There's none righteous, no, not one. Verse 11 says, there's none that understandeth, there's none that seeketh after God. So when we're talking about lost people, how do you get, they don't understand, none of them seek after God. How do we get them to have reverence? And how do we get them to respect Almighty God? And even in the church, why do people look at pornography? Why are husbands rude to their wives when they know Scripture says, lay down your life for your wife the way that Christ laid down His life for the church? Why do they do that? So how do we get lost people to do it? How do we get saved people to do it? Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 and 15 says this. Look at verse 15. They're going to put it on the screen. Deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime were subject to bondage. Here's how you do it. Every human being is haunted by the fear of death. And when you realize that you're coming to meet your Maker, it causes people to wake up and realize, I'm not God. It causes people to say, oh no, there's a reckoning coming, and I better get right. Now, we don't want that to happen on their deathbed. We want that to happen a whole lot sooner Now, let me give you an example of this. Luke chapter 23, verse 40. Remember the two thieves on the cross? Jesus is being crucified, and there's two thieves on either side. Remember that? They're both blaspheming Jesus. They're both shooting railing accusations against Jesus. The one thief does a 180, and he changes. And he yells over at the other thief on the other side and says, remember what he says? Don't you fear God? We are getting what we deserve. This man has done nothing. And then he says, remember me when you come into your kingdom. What caused this guy to do a 180 and to go from being a blasphemer to being a believer? Fear of death. What is going to wake up church people who are, pardon me, living for themselves, living for their houses and their cars and their bank accounts and their stock portfolios? You're going to die. You're going to leave it all behind. And you're going to spend eternity with God or in hell. And all that matters is your fear and your reverence for God Almighty. What my great concern, one of my greatest concerns, having been in ministry for 25 years, Christians that are falling away. They're going to put this verse on the screen. Psalm 19, verse 9. The fear of the Lord is clean. That word clean is pure. See, you've got a whole lot of people, and I'm just being transparent today. A lot of times we just start fudging. A lot of times we just start cutting corners. A lot of times we just start saying, it's not that bad. Everybody's doing it. Say a few little words. Start doing this, start doing that. Fear the Lord is pure. 100% clean. Notice what it says. Enduring forever. My greatest frustration, my greatest aggravation, my greatest disappointment in 25 plus years of ministry is Christians, pastors, not enduring, falling away. There have been some people who sat in this church that have fallen away. They weren't pure, and they didn't endure forever. You say, what happened to them? They did not have the fear of the Lord. That's what happened to them. Think about this. Lucifer. Lucifer led worship in heaven. Scripture says he was the anointed cherub. There were three cherubs. He was the archangel, so he was one of the top three. He was anointed, so that means he had favor and he had blessing. But he turned his back on God Almighty as the anointed favored cherub leading everybody to praise God the Father. What happened? He did not endure forever because he did not have the fear of the Lord. He did not have respect and awe of God. He said, I will ascend up to heaven. I will be as God. He exalted himself. Hold on a second. That's what you do. When you say, I'm going to do my way. I don't need church. I don't need to go tonight. I don't need to go to Sunday school. I don't need D group. I don't need all that. I'm going to do my own way. That's what Lucifer did. One third of the angels who ministered to God Almighty, they were ministering on the streets of gold with the gates of pearl. I mean, they were there. They saw perfection and holiness. They did not endure forever because they did not fear the Lord. Adam and Eve, think about that. Every day in the cool of the day, I don't know if that's morning and evening or if that's just evening. Every day during the cool of the day, they're walking with God. If there's anybody that should have had respect and awe and reverence for God, it should have been Adam and Eve. But they had rather listen to some crooked snake salesman than God Almighty. And they did not endure forever. Now think about it. If the cherub of the angels fail, if one third of the angels fail, if Adam and Eve fail, you mean you don't think you can? You say, what's the deal? All of us come in humility and say, God, in my life, you're not in your rightful place. I put stuff ahead of you. I put this and that ahead of you. I put my ways ahead of you. I put me ahead of you. And I humble myself and I exalt you. Here's who needs to do that. Neil Jackson. Here's who needs to do that. Every person on the face of the planet needs to do that. Every day. Multiple times a day. That's the way we endure forever. Let me close out by this. Best way you will ever live is living in the fear of the Lord. Let me give you three promises, and I'm going to spend a whole week just giving you promises that come with the fear of the Lord. Let me give you three. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord. Successful, happy, fulfilled is everyone. Hey, that's you. You will never know happiness. You will never know fulfillment. You will never know success. I don't care what Budweiser says. I don't care what any commercial says. You will never know happiness. Like you will know it when you say, God, I am going to do it your way. And I'm totally respecting you. And I'm submitting to you. Second verse. Proverbs 19 verse 23. Fear of the Lord tendeth to life. Means you're going to live longer if you respect the Lord. And he that hath it, the fear of the Lord, shall abide satisfied. You'll be content. You'll be full. He shall not be visited with evil. You say, what does that mean? Job, there's going to be such a hedge of protection around you. The devil's going to come and try to attack you. And he said, I can't get to that person. They have such respect towards you, God, such reverence towards you. I cannot get to them. I can't get to their family. I can't get to their stuff because, what the verse says, they shall not be visited with evil because they fear the Lord. One more. I love it. The angel of the Lord encamps round about them that fear him, and he delivers them. The angel of the Lord, he has a contingency of angels that just protect those that fear him. I'm going to be in your face. The smartest thing you will ever do in your life is live in reverence of God Almighty. And the most foolish thing or the dumbest thing you will ever do is blow off God. Live your way. Don't live in fear and reverence of God. Let me give you this last example and I'll be done. Psalm 25 verse 14. I've already given you the verse one more time. Let me just give you an example of this that's just ultimately cool. Psalm 25, verse 14. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. Secrets of the Lord are for those who fear him. You share secrets with folks that you are close to. You remember what Jesus told his disciples, John 15, verse 14. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you to do. Remember the man Abraham? He was known as a friend of God. God tells Abraham to do something. Abraham obeys immediately. Abraham obeys, doesn't ask questions. God tells Abraham, Abraham, go to a land that I will tell you. Okay? Abraham packs up, takes everything that he has, and he goes. Scripture says, not knowing where he went. God comes to Abraham. Abraham, go offer your son Isaac, your only son Isaac, as a burnt sacrifice. It says, Abraham rose up early the next morning and went 3 days' journey and offered his son, his only son whom he loved, Isaac, on the altar. You remember the story? He raised the knife to slay his own son. God sent an angel to stop him. You remember what he said? I know now that thou fearest me. Look back at Psalm 25. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. God comes and he's tired of the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah. Going to destroy it because they don't fear God. They don't reverence God and his ways. He's going to wipe them off the face of the map. But his secrets, he can't do it without telling his secrets to his friend Abraham. Goes by and he tells Abraham. Abraham gets into a bartering contest and says, God, will you spare Sodom and Gomorrah for 50 righteous people? God says, I will. He says, will you spare them for 45? He says, I will. Will you spare them for 40? He says, I will. Will you spare them for 30? I will. For 20? I will. For 10? I will. He is bartering back with God. All the time, Sodom and Gomorrah is down there. They don't have a clue what is taking place. Scripture says, they are eating, drinking, and giving in marriage. No clue what is taking place around him. Hold on a second. It says, Lot, a righteous man, is vexing his righteous soul. No clue what is taking place. Abraham knows what's happening before it's happening, and he has a hand in changing on in what is going to happen. Why? Because he fears God. The best life you will ever have is living in reverence and respect and fear of God Almighty. And the worst life you will ever live is blowing off God and saying, nope, I'll live life my own way.